Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing from prison, always encouraging. He's always encouraging. I don't know what it's like to be in prison. I've been in jail a couple of times. I'm not going to tell you why. One was not as bad as the other. But Paul, being persecuted, lands himself in jail because he was a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his letters, most of his letters, he starts out and he just commends people. And you can see his love and his concern in his heart for the people in Colossae. Since we heard of your faith, your love, and your hope, we being Paul and Timothy, he said, we do not cease to pray for you. So right away, I'm reminded, pray for other churches. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you've never met a missionary on the other side of the world or wherever. I'm reminded right away to pray for other people. They are our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And they need prayer just like we do, right? Sometimes we don't know how to pray for others that we haven't met. But remember, this letter was written to the church. This is going to encourage us to pray for each other and all the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't know how to pray for others we haven't met. Paul had never met them, but he faithfully prayed for them. Charles Spurgeon once said, "No one can do me truer kindness in this world than to pray for me." Do you guys agree with that? Billy Graham said, "Prayer is for every moment of our lives, not just for times of suffering or joy." He says, "Prayer is really a place where you meet God in genuine conversation." I love that. Meeting God in genuine conversation when we come before Him in prayer. I don't know if you know this, but every Wednesday night at 5 o'clock and Saturdays at 5 o'clock, there's a prayer team that meet over here led by Lori Blotkamp, praying for us, praying for the service, praying for whatever needs come. And you're welcome to join them. And what a blessing it is to pray for people, even though we don't know them, and we know that we're even called to pray for our enemies, whether they want it or not, we can still do it, you know. They don't even know. But what a joy it is to receive prayer. How many times have we called up a brother and a sister, and, you know, it's a hard thing we're dealing with. Hey, could you pray for me regarding this? Man, I asked a bunch of people to pray for me tonight, you know. We always need to be asking for prayer, and we always need to be praying for people. I love that. Paul is doing that here. And he asks God for specific things as he prays for them. There's 8 of them. Did you count them when we read through there? We're going to highlight them. Number 1, that they be filled with the knowledge of God with all wisdom and understanding. Filled with the knowledge of God's will. Man, I don't want to be void or ignorant of who God is. I don't want you to be either, but full of His knowledge, obtaining godly wisdom, understanding about Him and His purposes, praying that they would understand the things of God. That's His heart. The knowledge of God is not a secret that only a few can discover. It's available to everyone. Godly knowledge gives us godly wisdom and understanding about how to live our lives. See, I don't want to live like Jim Arnold used to live before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know how to live for God now because I've given my life to Him. God, show me how. Give me your wisdom and your understanding. Give me your discernment. I want everything I need to know about you, Lord, please. What a cool thing to be praying for other people. He prays that they would be filled up with the knowledge of God's will. Do you know what God's will is? Do you know what God's specific will is for your life? Here as you attend Calvary Tucson, how He wants to use you, the gifts and the talents that He's given you. God, show me your will that I might make a difference in my church and in this generation in which I live. Being filled up with the knowledge of God's will, that is His purposes, His decree, His desire for us according to His plan, for His creation, for us, for mankind, and for the whole universe. You know, the Lord has a plan. Jesus is coming soon, you know. And we want to be prepared. I want to understand what God is doing, even in this generation in which we live and all the things that we deal with. You see, our knowledge of the will of God is important. because we must know it in order to do it. And our wisdom and our understanding is a spiritual understanding so that we can apply it in our living and cooperate with God's plan for our lives. We got to know. I want to be filled up with it. We must pray for God's will to be done in our lives, in the lives of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get wisdom and understanding of God's will for our lives? Right here, isn't it? It's all right here. It's written down for us, the revealed Word of God. You know, prayer and the Word go together. It makes our lives into what God wants us to be. You know, you learn about God and we're studying it like we are right now, and then we pray about it. And see, it connects us with the Lord, and then He enables us to understand what He wants us to do for Him. They're both so very important, prayer and the Word. Paul prayed for them to be soundly taught and instructed. And you know, like me, as we attend church here, Pastor Robert's a great teacher, man. We are being instructed all the time. One time when asked, what is more important, praying or reading the Bible? Charles Spurgeon answered, what is more important, breathing in or out? I like that. They both go together. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you're familiar with this. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man and the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, this Word is amazing. It's the living Word. It's active. It's sharp. It changes us. So the challenge I wrote down for Jim and the application for us, I assume, am I praying and am I doing God's will? Am I praying for God's will in my life and am I doing it? Man, I got to check my life all the time. God, do you want me to be doing this? Should I be watching this thing? Should I be speaking like this? Should I be acting like this? God, help me to do your will and not mine. As we know God and understand His will, we now have a responsibility to do it, don't we? Yeah. Number two, Paul is praying that they would walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean, to walk worthy of the Lord? Walk is a metaphor of a life lived, right? To walk means because we gain the knowledge of God's will, as we're praying about it, our life is now regulated by God's will. Here's a question again. Is your life regulated by the will of God? How'd you do today? How'd you do last week? How was it at work today? Christian, you know, were you a witness and a light? And there's so many challenges at work sometimes. Oh man, we need to pray about these things, don't we? Our life needs to be regulated by God's will. It's walking in step with Him in obedience to Him. That's what the Christian life's all about. And so we should act in a manner corresponding to Jesus' character and His conduct. And then I was reminded, all unlikeness to Jesus' character and example is a dishonor to Him. You realize that? If you don't act like a Christian, it dishonors Him. It dishonors ourselves, I believe, because we call ourselves Christians. And what about the people around us that see us live our Christian lives? It's a dishonor to them as well. And I'm thinking, wow, thanks for pointing that out for me, Lord. I need to be careful. So we must constantly check our lifestyle to make sure we're living right before the Lord, according to His will. And so don't let your lips and your life preach two different messages. Be a doer of God's word, not just a hearer only. Amen? God, help us with that. And I love how Paul is praying that for them. And we got to be praying that for one another. And I love his prayer point. Let's pray for each other to live lives worthy of Jesus Christ. Because as we identify ourselves as Christians, we are to live Christ-like. The word Christian, little Christ, or to be Christ-like. And number three, we read now, fully pleasing Him. Fully pleasing Him. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Is it possible that we can walk less than fully pleasing God? Yeah, pretty easy to do. And I am reminded, and I wrote this to myself, always remember to please Jesus Christ by your conduct. God really does care how we treat one another. We are to make it our daily object to please Jesus Christ. Let's make him smile. Lori and I just recently moved, probably been a month or two now, into a new home. And, you know, Lori's really good at decorating stuff, you know. So I got some honeydews. Guys, you can relate, right? I'm painting and I'm caulking and I'm doing things. And yesterday or the day before, I put on handles on the closet doors that she picked out. She's really good at designing stuff, you know. And, you know, at the end of the deal, I'm done, you know, and I'm relaxing a little bit. And she walks in there and she goes, man, that looks really nice. You know, she had this big old smile on her. And it was like, I just got to please my wife by doing some little honeydews, you know. Hopefully you pleased your boss at work today, or your employees if you're an employer. Hopefully you're pleasing your spouse. And it's important that we understand that we need to please God in our lives as well. Fully pleasing him, not like half-heartedly, fully pleasing God. Ask him, pray about what that means for you. God, how do I fully please you? Lord, help me to do that. I love that prayer point there again. And as we live our lives to please him, one day we'll see his smile. When we see him face to face, it's going to light up. I can't wait, right? Probably look in his eyes as he looks at us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, man, I want to hear that. Oh, fully pleasing the Lord. God, help us to do that. And then number four, being fruitful in every good work. And I know that this is how we please God. There's the answer right there. So we must abound in good works. And it says in every good work, not in some only, right, which might be maybe a little more easy to do or more suitable or maybe it's safe. No, but in all and every circumstance of them. Pray about what that good work for you is that the Lord would want you to be fruitful in. The aim of all spiritual knowledge results in our conduct. Spiritual enlightenment enables us to live in a way that is worthy of the Lord, becoming those who not only profess to be his servants, but who actually carry out serving him in good works. And when we serve him, we serve other people, and that's good and well-pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. We got to pray for each other to be fruitful. John 15:8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You see, our love for others and blessing them and just bearing good fruit with good works, that fully pleases the Lord and it makes a difference in the people around us as well. Charles Spurgeon again said in regards to being fruitful, have you the ability to preach the gospel? Preach it, he says. Does a little child need comforting? Comfort it. Can you stand up and vindicate a glorious truth before thousands? Do it. Does a poor saint need a bit of dinner from your table? Send it to them. Let works of obedience, testimony, zeal, and charity all be found in your life. And he said, do not select big things as your special good work only, but glorify the Lord also in the littles, being fruitful in every good work. You know, even the little things matter to fully please the Lord. It doesn't have to be big, gigantic things. It can be the little ones. Maybe some of the things that nobody sees, nobody knows but you and the Lord, and you're faithful in doing that. Number five, we're just kind of going down the list of Paul's prayer and increasing in the knowledge of God. He's praying they would increase in the knowledge of God as time rolled on, knowing by genuine Christian experience more of God. More of his will, more fruit, right? More pleasing him. It's just like, I want to increase. We can never get to a spot where we think, oh, I'm doing okay, you know? I know the word, I know the Lord, I'm fully pleasing him, I'm, you know, doing what, no, don't stop there. We can never reach a plateau where we think, oh, you know, I can relax a little bit in my Christian service for him. No, no. Paul is praying, no, that you would increase in the knowledge of God. I want to know him more. I want to go deeper, as we were singing earlier, deeper into the things of the Lord. Man thirsts for knowledge, but the highest is the knowledge of God, not simply of his nature, but to know his specific will for our lives. You know, there's no limit to our increase in God's knowledge, but our own capacity or diligence and faith. There's no limit. We put ourselves limit. Oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. Oh, I don't feel like going to church today. Be careful. We're always to be wanting to know God more, because there is so much more to learn about him. I'm not a theologian. Robert might be. He knows a lot. But how about you? I doubt if Robert stops. He just keeps on teaching the word, you know? I want to know God more. I want to go deeper with him. And Paul is praying that way for the church in Colossae. Let's pray that for each other. There's no limit. God reveals himself to us as we seek him with all of our hearts and our souls and our mind. All of it, fully, right? Keep coming to church and study the Bible with us. Read it privately too. Just soak it up. Get connected with one of the home groups that we're talking about. That's a great way to gain in the knowledge and increase in the knowledge of the Lord. Enroll at Reach College. Man, what a blessed thing we have right here in our church, a college to study the word and go really deep. Tune in to Reach Radio. Man, there's great teachers on the radio. You know, I don't want to stop. I just want to keep going. I love switching over to Reach Radio when I'm driving the car, man. Oh, who's teaching now? Skip Isaac. You know, it's great. Pray for increase. I love how Paul is doing that. He's praying that their knowledge would increase. Just don't stay the same. Number six, strengthen with all might according to his, what kind of power does it say there? Glorious power. Yeah, that's awesome. I love how Paul's prayed for them to be stronger. Knowing and doing are not the whole of life, as we know. There are also sorrows and sufferings that come along in life. God's strength is there to help us meet all of life's challenges. And so he's praying for them to be strengthened. You see, where there is spiritual life, there's still a need of spiritual strength. Strength for all the actions of the spiritual life. Strength to do our duty and still hold fast our integrity as we're walking worthy. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian in this generation. Sometimes it's hard to be a Christian at work, you know? But we got to keep going. We got to be strengthened. Pray for strength to live the Christian life and to be that witness that God wants us to be. Of course, we need to be strong against the temptations of the enemy, the lusts of the flesh, the allurements of the world, man. We got to have strength to say no to that. What a great comfort to us that God gives strength to his people and that he is a God of glorious power. Reminds me of Chuck Smith. He used to use that word a lot, glorious, you know. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the author of this strength, thank God. Ephesians 3:16 tells us we are strengthened by his might, with his might, by his spirit in the inward man. Man, you can't do that on our own. There's some things that happen in life. How am I going to get through this? Oh, pray for God's strength, that you would be strengthened with his might. And number seven, this is why, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Two words I don't really like together, long and suffering. That's hard. You guys know what that's like. Some of you I know. Prayer to bear troubles well is what he's praying for. Man, we need that. Even when the circumstances of them are so hard and aggravating, in order to bear them with all patience, steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. That's what that word patience means. It's not to swerve away from our purpose and our loyalty to God by even the greatest trials that you might be facing, or that really hard place that you're in, suffering somehow. So prayer is needed to be patient and steadfast, even in long suffering. Suffering that is drawn out for whatever reason. Praying that we would bear it as long as God pleases to allow it in his strength. Can't do it on your own. It's always in his strength. And I notice that we're to be patient, long suffering with joyfulness, right? You can't just read through that. It says with joy. What? Yeah. So we're to rejoice in tribulation, to take it joyfully, the spoiling of our stuff. It's hard to do. The spoiling of our stuff, whether it's in persecutions or finances, could be a relationship, lost loved ones, even in our own death, or through any other suffering. See, we need God's strength to be able to deal with that. So prayer is needed for all patience and long suffering. James chapter 1, you're familiar with this. Some of us don't like to read it. Verses 2 and 4, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. Know that it's plural. Trials, various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. And let patience have its full effect. In other words, that's on us. We got to let it happen. God gives it to us. It is available. You can get through this thing, but you got to let it happen. Let is a choice word. It's personal to us. And let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Even in suffering, yeah. Even in tribulation, yeah. This is one of the hardest things I read in the Bible. We all need prayer to do this. Please pray for me to do this. I'll pray that for you. As patience is drawn out, sometimes almost to the breaking point, right? Oh, I can't do this anymore. Know that God is developing our characters with it. He wants us to be perfect in it. Characters with perfection, I wrote down. Why? So that our witness of faith in Christ is not incomplete, even in the midst of our trials. Do you know other people watch us? They generally know what we're dealing with. If it's a hard one, you call somebody up, could you pray for me, you know? There's a lot of hardships going on, even in our church here, you know? So people know what you're dealing with, and they want to gladly pray with you, but listen, it's a witness to other people when they see you handle it with the patience of the Lord. I just can't even relate. How are you doing that? How are you handling what is happening in your life? And they'll just simply say, God is enabling me to do it day by day. I love that. A witness, even in the suffering times. Could we ever have an attitude like Peter and Paul and the apostles, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name? And of course, this is being persecuted as a Christian, to have their joy as well as patience in all the troubles of life. Pray for it. We need to. We got to pray for it, because we can never do it in our own strength, but only as we are strengthened by God through prayer. That's how we do it. And finally, the eighth thing, giving thanks to the Father. Paul reminds them to be thankful to God as he thanks God for them. God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, and I love this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. See, that's the future that we get to have because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Every one of us, all of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the thought of being God's kids and he's our Father. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. We're his kids. Reminds me, we're somebody. You're a child of the King. You are a son of God Almighty. You are a daughter of God Almighty. We're somebody. I love that. That's personal. Most of us can relate to a father-child relationship. That's what we have with God. He's our Father, and he gives us an inheritance together with all of his family, saints. Check out 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, what kind of mercy? Abundant, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, he writes. who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Powerful. In this you greatly rejoice. Amen? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible. There's that word again. Joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, this gives us hope. It's a living hope. That no matter what we face in this life, as we pray for one another, that we might walk worthy of the Lord and just know him and serve him, that God has taken care of us all the way to the end and beyond. I love it. We get to share in the allotted possession of being children of God. Our Christian inheritance, eternity with God, is not won by our own merit, but given us simply by God's grace and mercy and his goodness. The words may be literally rendered, there fitted us for the portion of the lot, the inheritance. This possession belongs to all Christians and is situated in that world of light. Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, he calls us, you are the light of the world. Just shine the love of God. And so of the saints in the light, the description seems to specify the region in which our inheritance lies. This was interesting to me. It lies in a realm where purity and knowledge and gladness and holiness dwell, undimmed and unbounded by any darkness. Right? And that reminded me to go to Revelation chapter 21. This is amazing here. Lost my bookmark, but that's okay because I found it. John is writing in regards to the glory of the New Jerusalem. He writes, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The dwelling of God, right? The city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those whose are written in the Lamb's book of life. What a beautiful future you and I have. Absolutely wonderful. Our eternal inheritance is waiting for us. And so we are to be thankful. And we have a lot to be thankful about. It's only the saints, those who are in the family of God, those who are in Christ. What does that mean? In a relationship with him, in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your Savior. Only Christians have this inheritance of God. If you're not a Christian, you don't get this. But you can tonight. I'm praying that God speaks to you. If there's anyone here that you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, tonight would be the night that you could take advantage of understanding who God is and bless him as he blesses you and gives you that wonderful inheritance. And then you too can be thankful for God Almighty. He's a good, good Father. So in closing, sometimes we wonder how to pray for others. These verses teach us how. Let's meditate on how to pray specifically for one another. Like Paul and Timothy, let's pray for one another and ask God these things. Would you stand with me and we'll close in prayer? Father in heaven, we stand before you now and we just thank you for your word and the truth that's in it regarding how to pray for other people, even though we don't know them, Lord. Pray for other churches, Lord. Maybe churches that we've been a part of over the years. We want to lift them up to you right now as you bring those to remembrance, Lord. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters all around the world, Lord, these things, God, that they would understand your will. And we pray the same for us. God, give us understanding. We want to know what your will is. Father, that they would gain spiritual wisdom and understanding in us too. God, that we would all walk worthy of you, Lord, and to please you. Show us how to do that, that we could bear good fruit in doing your works, Lord. Open up doors of opportunity for us to do that, we ask. We would continue to grow in your knowledge, Lord. We want to go deeper with you. God, give us a desire for your word and to study it so that we can live it. We want to be filled with your strength, Lord. Some of us need strength right now, and I pray, God, that they would just feel your touch, your glorious power would strengthen, Lord. Then give us all patience and long sufferings. Lord, we do pray for healing through these things, but in the midst of us, until you do, would you give us strength to bear it joyfully, Lord? We actually pray that you would help us with the joy in long suffering. And Father, always we want to give you thanks. Remind us to be thankful in all these things. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that we can just bask in it and study it. And so we pray that your will would be done, Lord, regarding these prayers. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And